בוקר טוב, גוד מורנינג. פרשת תרומה. פרשת תרומה is the beginning of a few parashot that talk about the mishkan, the tabernacle, and like with all the details and details and more details. And the first question is, why do we need so many details? Are we architects? Are we going to build it? And nevertheless, we're talking about the Mishkan. And the Mishkan was only in the desert. Today, it's a Bet Mikdash. We are waiting to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem, which is a whole different building. It's not the same. So what is so important to the Torah to tell us again and again and again all the details? We talk about mezuzah. How many psukim do we have on mezuzah? Nothing, like one sentence. Sukkah, what's written? A few psukim, and from this we learn how to build the sukkah. And here, about the Mishkan.
But also the ark. The ark
was a lot of detail. I'm talking about not only the ark, maybe the ark, you know what? Okay, you tell me exactly how to build it. But to tell me how much gold and all the sizes of what? Of things that I'm not going to use in the future. So we have to understand that, as we say a few times before, the Torah is not a story about things that happened a few years ago, 2000, 3000.
It's
no.
It's
something that we have to learn also today. In other words, in all those psukim, there is a lesson for us today. In other words, when I look at the way the Mishkan was built, I have to learn the way I am built. Because man is a small universe. And the Mishkan and the temple are also a small universe. In other words, if I look at the physical world and at the spiritual world, they are not only connected, they are a reflection of each other. It sounds a little maybe crazy, but that's the way it is. For example, as when we talk about human being, we have the mind, we have the heart, and we have the liver. Now, when you stand as a human being, where is the mind? Where is the brain? Up. And then you have the heart, and then the liver. And that's a proper man, that a man should function. What do I mean? The one on control has to be who? The head, the mind, which is, by the way, the neshama. The heart is what? Feelings, desires. He cannot control. He has to get orders from the mind, not the opposite way. And the liver is
the body function.
It's like a vegetable, if you understand what I mean. It's got no feeling. It's like a machine that is cleaning the blood. That's what the liver is doing in the physical world. And the same thing is doing in the spiritual world. In other words, I have to go through, first of all, mind, heart, and then goes to the liver, and the liver takes all the dirt out, and that's the way it should work. If it works the opposite way, I have a big problem. Now, for an animal, normally, where is the mind, where is the brain, where is the head, and where is the heart? And it's on the same level. And if we want to look more carefully, normally the head of an animal will be where? Down. In other words, not the mind is controlling things, but instincts, feelings, or let's say desires. That's not human being. So we see the same way, by the way, was built the Mishkan. Like, for example, we're talking about measurements. When we look at the Mishkan, we see a very interesting point. We see a lot of measurements. Unbelievable measurements. Everything is with measurements. But there is one thing with no measurements. You know what it is?
Our head. Our thoughts.
No, when we talk about the tools for the Mishkan, the parts of the Mishkan, everything is with measurements. And there is one very important thing of the tools of the Mishkan, which got no measurements at all. I know people read the parsha again, and a year next year, and the year before, and another year, and they don't see it. By the way, I didn't notice it also till a few years ago. Somebody told me. You know what it is? The menorah. The menorah has got no measurements in our parsha. But when you look in Rashi, Rashi is telling you measurements. And you know, people that read Rashi and the parsha, they don't even notice that tachles, it's not written. There is now no measurement. Now, why? Why the menorah has got no measurements while we see that the ark, that the table, that the altars all had measurements? What is the menorah for? What is it standing for?
Light.
What is light? Light got measurements?
No.
So the menorah's got no measurements. What is light? Light is the Torah. The light of the Torah is infinity. It's got no limits. In other words, you cannot put it in measurements. Very interesting. Now let's see, talking about measurements, when we look at the ark, which is the first thing that we start talking about, is written Ve'asu aron atzei shitim, and you will make an ark built of wood, amataim v'chetzi orko, ve'ama v'chetzi rochbo, ve'ama v'chetzi komato. In other words, 2.5 amot the length, 1.5 the width, and 1.5 the height. Okay?
That's telling you how to do it.
Yeah, I'm talking. That's the ark, not the menorah. Now we're talking about the ark. In a minute we'll see. Yes.
That sounds very small.
It is. It's not so big.
Not big at all.
No, it's not big. You know, we imagine to ourselves, wow, the ark. The ark was only for the Torah inside. Like it was something like this. That's what it was.
Aron.
Yeah, it was an aron, a cupboard. That's what it was. And for it didn't need to be very big. Now, I want you to take notice about a very interesting point, because we're talking about details. And as we said, the details are there not because they want us to be architects to build the Mishkan again, because we're not going to build the Mishkan. But what are we going to do? The Torah is telling us here, Ve'asu li mikdash ve'shachanti betocham. You will build me what? Mikdash. What is a mikdash?
Sanctuary.
And what is a Mishkan?
Sanctuary.
Yeah. Sanctuary. There is a difference. Mikdash is mikdash and Mishkan is Mishkan. So the Mishkan is the tabernacle, let's put it this way. And the Mikdash is like the temple with its all glory. Now, what are we talking now in Parsha? About the Mikdash or the Mishkan?
Mishkan.
So why is the Torah telling us, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti betocham? Interesting. And nevertheless, look, V'asu li mikdash. What is Mikdash? Singular. Echad. One. V'shachanti, and I will dwell where? In it? Among them. V'shachanti betocham, in plural. So, 1 minute. You're talking about one, and then you're saying I'm going to dwell among you all? What does it mean? So one of the beautiful explanations says that what the Torah is talking about is what temple? Inside us. The outside building is only a symbol. It's only the physical part of the inner part, which is each one of us. We build the temple. Each one of us has to build, first of all, a temple inside. That's Vasuli Mikdash. Mikdash is to sanctify. And Mishkan is where you live. So if you want God to live inside you, what do you have to? Sanctify yourself, and then God will have a place to live inside you. Ve'asu li mikdash, you will sanctify yourself. Ve'shachanti betocham, and then God can come and stay inside us. That's the real meaning of all those details of us. So how do you do this? That's what we learn. That's all the details. In other words, when we see measurements and we see materials, each one of them is a deeper an insight of what it's really on the outside. So, on the surface, we're talking about building a Mishkan. But the real meaning is building ourselves.
But building oneself doesn't have the Ruach HaKodesh.
It depends on what level he gets, yes, of course. That's Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. He's got the levels. How do you get to Ruach HaKodesh? You have stages. You cannot, it's like, you know, one of the funny thing is, you see all those mekubalim. So everybody is a mekubal. You do this and you do this, you light two candles in the dark and a one candle here, and then you take a skin of this, and they tell you all those Kabbalah things. And the real truth, somebody who came, I think, to the Maran Rav Shach Zatzal, someone came to him and says, how is it all those mekubalim with all the Kabbalah that they do? He says, he told him a very simple thing. When a baby is inside of the womb of his mother, comes an angel, and there is a light, a candle lit on the inside, and the baby is being taught the whole Torah, and the baby can see the whole universe. Mikzeh ha'olam ad katzeh, with this special light he's got there. And then the Midrash says, when the baby comes out, the angel smacks him on the face, here they say, whatever, and he forgets all the Torah he was learned. So, ask the Rebbe, so why is, what's happening with the candle? Nothing is telling, what's that? Is he still lit? Does he still see from the whole universe? He says, no, because with no Torah, there is no light. In other words, that's an automatic thing. In other words, in order to have the light to see things, what do you need? The Torah. So if somebody comes and says, I am a mekubal, I can tell things and I can deal with Kabbalah Ma'asit. If he's not a Talmid Chacham, he's talking nonsense. There is nothing like this. In order to be a mekubal, first of all, you have to be a Talmid Chacham. Only, as you asked, only if you step in the right levels up in the normal way, you can be eventually with Ruach HaKodesh and to say, oh, nobody, no, let's say the real mekubal will never say, I'm a mekubal.
Yes.
The, by the way. So in other words, all those who say that I'm a kubalim, yeah, from the beginning, that's all a big lot of nonsense. And really, don't even, you know, they send you on the phone sometimes, please send the message to 10 people and then you have fortune, you have Don't do it. Don't believe in it. It's all stupid things. You know, I don't know if I told you. Once I was going in the car and I heard this advertisement in the radio about what? About if you want to have a zgula for this, this is the Yeshivat HaMekubalim, a certain event, and they will come to your house with a special coat of the tzaddik, and they will do this and that. And then I had another thing. And if you donate for this yeshiva of the Kubalim, you will have a box with 48 kabbalot, like zgulot. I said, you know what? I have to phone. I want to know what zgulot they're talking about. So I'm phoning, and this girl is answering me. She says, I heard on the radio that if I donate to this, I get a box with, what are we talking about? Says, wow, you got 48 zgulot for parnoso, for health, for this and this and that and that. And I says, and who do I donate it? There is a yeshiva that is there. And I was asking myself, you know, so many people go after those stupid things. Are they wealthy?
No.
Are they healthy?
No.
Did all the problems solve? That's what they promise. They promise you're going to have 200 kids. You have we have wealth and you have health and you have you have. I don't see it. No, I don't see it. People are paying the best all the money there for those charlatans that take the money and who knows what they're doing with it, promising promises there is nothing behind, and people buying it. Zgula le parnasa. So, okay, I take the Zgula Parnasa. No, where is the Parnasa? No, you didn't do this. Or maybe something is... We have a direct connection with God. We want Parnasa, we ask God. We don't need no Mekubal in the middle. You know, there's a famous story with one of the Magidim. Wow, I don't remember the name. I've got problem with names. I don't remember names. And this lady came to him, a poor lady came to him, and she wanted a blessing for children or some problem she had. So the Rebbe said, tell them, okay, I want you to bring me $200. He says, $200? I've got no $200. But you want my blessing? I want $200. So she's going out and collecting money and doing whatever she could because she was very desperate. She comes back to the Rebbe after 2 days. Rebbe, I've got $190. Please bless me. He says, no. I told you $200. Give me $200, you're going to get blessed. Not $1 less, no blessing. So this poor lady is looking at him. You are a rabbi? How do you behave? I'm a poor lady. You know what I did for this thing? You know what? I don't need you. I'll ask God. I said, this is what I was waiting for you. Now you understand. I am not giving you anything. God is giving you. Now I'll give you my blessing. I don't need your $200. And how true it is. So we're talking about Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, it's not so simple. In order to achieve Ruach HaKodesh, you have to do unbelievable things. And this is exactly what we are trying to learn. We'll come, if we have time, we'll come back to the Ark. But right now I want to talk about the interesting way to learn from the measurements. So we saw here that we have measurements that are all cut in the middle. 2.5, 1.5, 1.5. Now when we look at the shulchan, the table, ve'asita shulchan atzei shitim, amataim orko, 2 amot, the length, ve'ama rochbo, 1 ama, the width, ve'ama v'chetzi komato, and 1.5 amot, the height. Now what did we see here? We saw here that a part is 2 is whole number. Then the other two are again cut. 1.5, 1.5. Now when we go to the altars, we have 2. I'm not going today. I'm going to the one that is in our parsha, which by the way, also put in a very strange place. Not here right after all the tools, but after all the building of what you need for the whole Mishkan. But let's see. ועשית את המזבח חצי שיטים, 5 אמות אורך, 5 אמות length, 5 אמות רוחב, 5 אמות width, רבוע יהיה, it will be a square, ו3 אמות, and 3 אמות the height. Now what do we see here? All the measurements are whole. 5, 5, 3. Is there a reason? Of course there is. And this is unbelievable. Now what is the ark for the Torah? In the case of the Torah, we have to learn two important things. First of all, we can never get to the end of the Torah. The Torah is continuance and infinity, and there is no limit to the Torah. In other words, you can learn and learn and learn, and you're still only on the halfway. From the other side, you have to understand that the only way to learn is to realize that you don't know. That what did Shlomo HaMelech says? Echkema v'irchoka mimeni. I got so clever and I understood that I know nothing. The more I know, the less I understand. This is Shlomo HaMelech. And that's exactly why, when we're talking about the Ark, all the measurements are cut to show us that we can never get to the whole, which is very important to understand. Now, what is the table standing for?
To have the Torah on.
No. In the physical world, what do you do on a table? Eat. You eat on a table?
Yes.
In other words, the table is the parnosa. The table is a symbol of parnosa, or all the physical needs that we need in this world, because we eat on the table. And in the table we have a very interesting thing. A part of the measurements are all, and a part are broken. And what is the reason here? Esav and Yaakov met, and Yaakov is giving present to Esav. And Esav says, I don't need your present, I've got plenty. Yesh li rav. What is Yaakov answering? It's okay. I've got everything. Yeshli kol. Did he have everything?
No.
Is there anybody in the world who's got everything?
No.
So what is Yaakov really saying? He says, I've got everything I need. What I've got, I don't need anymore. Because if God gave it to me, that's the whole thing. I don't need even one thing more. And that's exactly what the Torah is telling us. Talking about parnosa, from one side you have to understand and realize you have all. So the measurements is for all. I've got everything I need. Ah, but he's got more. No, he's got more. That's for him. This is his share, his part. You cannot touch it. And not only you cannot touch it, it's no good for you. There is this famous story, a Hasidic story about this rich guy who comes to the Rebbe. Like, he is the richest guy in town. Comes to the Rebbe, says, Rebbe, I cannot stand it anymore. So much dealing and wheeling and concerns. Every minute I have to deal with this. I cannot sleep at night. So much worries I've got. So the Rebbe tells, okay, I'll think about what to do with you. Come back in a few days. You know what? Come back in 3 days. 2 minutes later, the beggar of the town comes. Rebbe, I had enough. I cannot. I've got nowhere to sleep. I've got nothing to eat. I'm suffering. I have to every day to look for the parnosa of the same day. And it's I cannot do it. I want your help. Says the Rebbe, you know what? In 3 days you come to me. 3 days pass, both of them come to the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, I heard your problem, I had your problem. Switch. You say you've got too much. You don't know how to deal with it. You want a quiet life. Here, take the quiet life of the poor. The poor says, I've got nothing. Here, take the rich guy. Okay. So they go each one to the other one's house. The poor guy wakes up in the morning in this beautiful bed. He didn't even open the eyes and already knocking at the door. And one of the servants come, Master, we have to deal with a few problems. Gets out. He's got, first of all, breakfast. Wow, all the best stuff of the world. But he's got no time to eat because this guy said, we have to deal with a few problems. You know, in China we have this, and then in France we have this. In other words, he finds himself dealing and wheeling the whole day. He's got no time for himself. On the other side of town, this rich guy wakes up with the rain coming into the house, waking him up, dropping on top of his head. What happened? Goes to the fridge. There is no fridge. No servants, no fridge, no nothing. He sees this stale bread on the table. Eats it. Oh, it's so hard. Hardly can bite it. Then he wants to sit a little and read. But no chair, no nothing. To cut the long story short, the same evening, both of them at the rabbi again. He says, Rabbi, do me a favor. Give me back my pekele. And does, I want my pekele back. It's okay. Thank you, God. I know how to deal with my problems. And that's exactly the point. God gives everybody his own pekele. And by the way, there is nobody with no pekele. Each one of us got its tzuras. But there are his tzuras. And he can deal with them because God gave him the tools to deal with them. From the other, that's the way we should look. That's the shulchan. That's the table. To see and good that I've got everything I need from the other side. So why do we have the cut measurements? Because those who run after the money never get enough. Not even the half. And you know, Chazal said, "En adam olech lo olamo v'chatzi ta'avato b'yado." You don't go to the next world with your half of what you want out of this world. From the other thing, Chazal says that mi sheyesh lo mane rotze matayim. The one who's got 100 wants 200. The one who's got 200 wants 400. Now, how does this go together? If he's got 100, he's got half. So why is the Chazal telling us, or Sage telling us, that you don't go with a half to the next world? But here he says, he's got 100, he wants 200. 200 wants 400. So has he got half?
Yes, I'm half.
The problem is that the other half is always more worth more. You know, but the other God is always worth more. And this is a big lesson in life. So in other words, the table is telling us, you have to look at life in a very simple way, which is the best way. Whatever God gave me is the best, and I've got everything I need from God. If you look from the other point of view, you never will get to be, you'll always be broken. You always will be broke. You never will have enough. That's the table. Now, what's happening with the altar? What is the altar really doing? Why the altar's got all the measurements full, whole? Why? Because the altar is connecting us with God to fulfill ourselves. We sacrifice something in order to make good at what we did wrong, or to be whole with God. In other words, this is the best thing in the world to connect to God. So this is why when we talk about the altar that is connecting to the spiritual path, that is all the measurements are whole. So we saw it a beautiful thing. And this is only a small learning from what? From measurements. And remember the menorah? No measurements. Even from no measurements we learn. And that's the way we learn what's going on here. I will finish this lesson with an interesting bit. Yechezkel, the prophet, God comes to him and tells him, I want you to tell the people how the temple is built and all this, all the glory of it. And Yechezkel, the prophet, tells God, well, it's not nice. Imagine to yourself somebody who is a billionaire, loses all the money, runs away to a far away where nobody knows him, lives poor life, he's got nothing at home, and one of the friends finds out where he is, and he comes to him with all those new papers about the rich and famous. And he's living in the dump there, and he's opening all those things and showing him, see, look how this is living. Ah, look, this Rolls he's got, and this beautiful house. What do you think about this guy? There's a chutzpah. Wow, this guy lost everything. He's got nothing. And you're showing him how the rich and famous live? So Cheskel Anavi says, God, Am Israel are in Galut. You want me to come and like stick them in the eyes with the showing him the temple? There is no temple. So God is telling him an unbelievable thing. Kriyata kebniyata. In other words, it says, you show them. If they will, what do you think? If the temple is not built, so we don't build the temple? We build the temple. How do we build the temple? Learning the parsha. What we are doing now is building a temple. This is a big privilege. Because the whole idea of the temple is not the stone. It's what behind the stone. What, like now we learned about the measurements. This is an unbelievable thing. And this is something we have to put in our mind deep inside. When we learn those parshas and sing and look at all those details and more details and more details and think to ourselves, what for? So now we learn what for. And we only touch what?
One part.
Bezrat Hashem, the other parshas will also have a few interesting things. Unfortunately, time runs and I have to move. Thank you, Yishkoyach.